Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Ashwini, who is here to talk with us about a practice process that, for me, I'm finding incredibly helpful, and she's going to tell us a little bit more about it. Welcome, Ashwini.
Thanks, Jen.
So a few weeks back, you and I were having a conversation, and you started talking about something that was really quite inspiring to me just right from the beginning of the conversation. And I've been practicing with it ever since, and I've seen it come through in a number of different places in practice things. It came through, actually, most notably in today's email class. And so it was around this idea of, with a particular content/process, you know, I think for me it's been really helpful to do it with a particular content, but there's always a process underlying that that's up for one at a given time in practice, and finding a very particular way to train with it. And I think that was the word that intrigued me so much when you were talking about it, that you were saying that you found very particular ways to train with something that's going on in practice. And I wondered if you could kind of tell us a little bit about what that is and how it works.
Sure. You know, Jen, to me, the line that really caught my attention about our practice is what we say in the daily recollection: in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. And there was a spirit of inquiry around, well, what are we training ourselves? Like, what is practice? Like, what is the training? And I think training is to tune to life, to have the attention in the present moment, and not to let the voices of conditioning talk us out of being present. I mean, that's what we do in awareness practice, right? And so to me, that is the training. So we train ourselves to tune into life, or we train ourselves to not let the voices of conditioning talk us out of something that we commit to doing,
yeah.
Right? And eventually, and so it doesn't matter. Any piece of content, you can work with any piece of content. And I started off with a really, really small piece of content like flossing my teeth, and move to much more charged pieces of content, whatever the content is, you know, emotion or irritation or whatever causes most suffering. And so truly it is training. It's like, to me, it's very similar to weaning oneself off of an addiction. Because really it's, well, I'm being told, let me use a concrete example. So I want to stop having unhealthy habits around sugar.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's really not about the sugar that I'm training around. I'm actually training to not let myself be talked into eating sugar when I choose not to eat sugar.
Yeah.
And so that's it, right? So when I go to eat sugar, I'm actually taken over by ego, and I have a conditioned reaction to it. I crave it. I want to eat it. I'm just so in that conditioned response towards or reaction towards that trigger. And my training focus is, how do I not have that conditioned reaction to sugar?
Right, right. So just in that one, quote, small example, really, the entire teachings of Buddhism are in there, aren't they? Because what we're, as conditioned humans, we're trained to believe that, as you say, that whole craving process is me. I really do want that sugar, and we're completely taken over, but we don't see that. And then once we do see that, then the training can actually begin to train the attention to be to what we actually do want, especially when we're identified with egocentric karmic conditioning, when it feels like, no, but I really do want the sugar.
Right. Exactly so. So you start really small in order to see the process of how the craving gets maintained, right? So to continue with that example, for a period of time, my first training step might be, what's my circuit breaker before I reach for the ice cream, right? So maybe I listen to a recording, or a timer goes off before I eat, or something like that, to bring me to the present moment so that I'm not present or in a mental conversation, or my attention isn't wandering, so that what is there is karmic conditioning, right? So when we train, the reason I'm so fascinated about it is because it allows us to use all the tools of practice, process mapping, reporting and listening, to learn to pay attention, to cultivate awareness, to really, really observe how conditioned mind works, and then to see how awareness works on our side to assist us in not following through on the conditioned reaction. So it's almost like a laboratory experiment, right? Yeah. So you watch how the processes work, then you experiment how to create jitter or imbalance in the survival system, and then all the ways in which awareness can assist us. And in the process, not only are we deconstructing karmic conditioning, we are building our repertoire of how awareness might assist us, or how awareness works, and how intelligence might operate in that situation.
I mean, there are just so many things about it as you lay that out. And one of the, you know, you went by it quickly, but one of the things that for me is so significant as I've been practicing with it is what you just said about how can we put a jitter into the system, into the survival system. Basically, how can we put a monkey wrench? You know, what monkey wrench can we put in there? And the reason I feel like that's so huge is that, again, the place where for most of us we get hooked is how we feel, whether that's emotionally or physically. So I really want the sugar. I really want the sugar. But if we get it, that when that craving is at its greatest, that's the biggest monkey wrench. That's a signal that that monkey wrench really is working. It somehow, for me, really ups the motivation to go, good, this is what we want. We've got ego on the run. And this is what it feels like for the human to be moving towards freedom, away from being controlled by ego.
Right. And so whatever it takes, right, it's the image of Jim Carrey, you know, being lashed to the mast and say, do your worst. But if I have to lash myself to the mast, literally or figuratively speaking, in not to act out of that craving, then I would do that, right?
Yeah.
That's the level of willingness we have to go up against karmic conditioning. And to me, the really fascinating process, I've been doing something this way for every 30 days, right, to up the commitment to be something different for the next 30 days.
Uh-huh.
But it's a process of learning to love learning.
Yeah.
Because what I'm learning is all the ways in which it's going to try to trick me into doing this,
yep.
All the ways in which I can actually not fall for it.
Yep.
So, for example, one of the most interesting processes is what female class is about, where instead of what conditioning always has us doing is focus on some content. I don't want to eat sugar, so I'm depriving myself of something.
Right.
But if you really look at what's the motivation, it's I want to support the body.
Yes.
So in the moment of craving, my attention is cultivating the process of supporting the body, not on depriving myself of sugar.
Yeah.
So I'm actually training an awareness practice that supports awareness, not in a karmically conditioned practice which supports the feeling of deprivation.
Yes.
Right?
Precisely.
And so that's another additional tool that I can add to my tool belt, where the next time I choose a topic, I know how to train and what I'm training to do. And the other example is, over time, one of the things that we get experience in is, what are your critical points of resistance, right? So really recognize, like you said, when the wall is really, really high, that's when you want to make sure that you don't give in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get to how long the temptation is going to be really painful before you break through the barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can move that threshold and watch it move, right? So the first time I did it, I was unsuccessful for 29 days. And then the next time I did it, I could get to consistently not exhibiting the behavior in 6 days.
Yeah.
You can watch it based on the charge of the content on how you're training.
Yes.
And
it,
get better and more skilled.
Exactly. And it blows through the whole, you know, this is going back to the last email class, but conditioning scoreboard, because, okay, so you didn't do that thing. You know, you did exhibit the behavior for 29 days or you didn't, whichever way it was. And yet, in the second time around, what you realize is that entire time the training was happening. So we
exactly.
can completely take out the successful, not successful, because it's totally irrelevant. It's a process that we're learning. And the learning, no matter what happens on the content level, the learning is happening every step of the way.
Right. And sometimes the first step is what we declare as the sangha, which is not to feel bad. Because
yep.
if you keep watching the process of feeling bad because you failed within quotes, then what it's trying to do is to get you to quit the training program.
Exactly.
Whereas you can use that to train that the moment I give in to the craving, I'm going to commit to not indulging again for another 30 days.
Yeah.
It doesn't, and that way we turn the training into something different, right? So no matter what it throws at me, I'm going to do this minute by minute, moment by moment, meal by meal. Till I get to 30 continuous days of not eating X.
Exactly. 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 And then it almost, you know, as you lay it out that way, it moves it from a contest to an adventure. And it's, you know, how is this going to go? Oh, let's see how it is today. Because the other thing that dropped in for me, Ashwini, as you were laying it out, is that in conversation with a mentor, in conversation with life, we can really tune into where am I with this thing that I'm working on? Like, what is the training program for me today? You know, maybe my neighbor is lifting 25 pounds and I'm lifting 5, and maybe the other person is bench pressing their weight, you know, whatever. But the point is to tune into where I am, because at a particular time, maybe it's not the place where I'm resisting eating the, you know, I'm resisting is a bad word, a poor choice of words, that I'm not eating the sugar no matter what. Maybe I'm in the part of the training where I'm eating the sugar and I'm recording before I do and I'm recording after I do and I'm just paying really close attention.
That's right. You could be at any level of the training process, right? And the thing is, it's not linear. So you might
exactly.
have successfully trained yourself around this piece of content, around this particular process of karmic conditioning,
yeah.
but that doesn't mean that the groove is completely reprogrammed,
yeah.
and you might slip, or it might start you back into doing something that you think you're over. But, you know, life gives hundreds and hundreds of opportunities for us to move away from suffering.
It really does, and as far as I can tell, it really wants what is best for us. And to me,
yeah.
that is so relaxing and so kind, because if I get it that life truly wants absolutely the best for me, then it's so much easier to let go into that training process and just say, okay, then I trust that wherever this is going is going to be the thing that's the best for all of life, and I am life, so it's going to be the best for me, and all the bumps along the journey are part of it, and the, you know, places where I did keep the commitment is great, and where I didn't, as long as we keep paying attention. It feels
yes.
like that's the key point.
Well, and to me, Jen, the larger, you know, the largest context of this is we have no idea whether the transformation is happening or not, right? Because however I am training, the transformation might be happening in ways that ego can never understand.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm only assessing it from a very, very narrow perspective.
Yeah.
And there's so much that's happening in terms of awareness, registering the joy of knowing itself. And,
yeah.
you know, all these processes that we are not conscious of, we don't have words for. Life just is having a good time, right?
Yeah.
And we also don't have any clue as to what the impact of what we're doing is having on other people.
Yeah.
Or others, if you want to put that in quotes,
right.
because there's inspiration,
yeah.
there's all kinds of ramifications, a random conversation with a store clerk, whatever
yeah.
it is, the real transformation is perhaps a way to say it is the level of consciousness that conscious, compassionate awareness that is being brought to anything.
Yes, yes. Amen. Amen. That is just so true. Yeah. I'm quite certain we could spend the rest of the hour talking about this.
Well, I hope we do, but at least, but with Sherry, not with us.
With Sherry, exactly. Now, that's a good middle way. We'll keep talking about it for the hour, but we'll turn it over to Michael and Sherry to do that.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Ashwini. Thanks for being with us this afternoon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Ashwini. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm doing well. I had a little moment this morning of the really real stories. I had a minor medical thing done this morning, and it didn't have quite the outcome that I had expected. And it's quite instructive to see the process that results from that. You know, the conditioning.
The voices kick in.
They wanted to, and I just wasn't going to go there. You know, I'm just not going to, you know, because it wants to, well, you shouldn't have done that, and you did the research, but all of that, blame something wrong, you know, creating an alternate reality that no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
And just to trust, you know, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. And getting into that conversation is not going to help a darn thing.
No, not nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except misery, feeling bad. It's just not going to.
Because we just don't know.
Because we don't know. And I'm also grateful that we're doing an email class on the body, and I asked the body about it, and the body's okay, and says to trust and breathe and patience.
Just stay with it.
Stay with it.
Yeah.
Stay with it. Stay with it.
Good. Well, I'm glad that's going on too. I'm glad for you. I'm glad for me. Glad for everybody who's participating in it. I was reflecting as I listened to Jen and Ashwini talk. I was just struck by the wisdom and the compassion, the clarity that exists now in this sangha.
Yes.
It's really astounding, isn't it?
It is astounding. It's awesome. It's wonderful.
It really is. And to go from that to then, you know, you've got this thing going on in your life. And that you know how to be with it. You know how to take care of yourself, how to bring conscious, compassionate awareness to what I can only guess at another time in a person's life would be really frightening and upsetting and alarming.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. It's just incredible to see the power of, you know, the conditioned response on the one hand, and the diligent practice that we're all doing that enables us to see that for what it is and to see another possibility.
Mm-hmm. Several people in the class now have indicated, have said something like, "With in partnership with the body."
Yes.
Anything. We can handle anything. We can face anything because I have this strong ally now. There's the person who's doing practice, and there's the body, and there's the mentor, and we don't know what's coming, but whatever it is, we have the team to face it.
Yes.
It's going to be all right.
Yes. Yes.
Such a comfort.
It is such a comfort. And getting clear that control is an illusion, as we've said for a long time. With the skills that we have to come back to the moment and take care of ourselves, control is less desirable than perhaps it seemed before.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Well, you'll you'll let me know if you need anything, won't you?
Thank you very much. It's very much appreciate that. And shall we hear about what else is going on in practice?
Oh, let's.
Okay. Registration is now open for a workshop with you, Sherry, in Seattle on July 20th.
Right.
Learn how to have it all at this one-day event.
How to have it all. We're going to learn that in one day.
That's a pretty good return on your investment.
Uh-huh.
And there are still a few spots open for There Is Nothing Wrong With You, July 5th through 12th. Spots are filling quickly for this foundational retreat.
And, of course, when you say that, I have to, even though registration isn't open, I want to do the reminder that we're going to have a session on the East Coast in North Carolina. So people can come to the monastery. They can come to Western North Carolina. Lots of summertime opportunities to get even clearer that there is nothing wrong.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on these and all our events.
Ooh.
Our call-in number today is 888-4-SANGHA. That's 888-472-6442. The show ID is 15406. And then you'll enter your PIN followed by pound. And we have a great lineup of callers. And I want to remind folks to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Here we go, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ellie in San Diego.
Hello. Say your name again, please.
I always have this problem. Ellie.
Ellie! Oh, okay. All right, good. I thought that's what I heard, but, you know, I want to be sure. How are you doing, Ellie?
Doing pretty well. Seeing a lot with the email class.
Oh, good.
And experiencing more, like, seeing more of how, what I've been practicing. So that I have the opportunity to make some different choices.
Uh-huh. So I'm guessing that you're referring to the class saying, how have you been approaching this? Kind of how has egocentricity, karmic conditioning, self-hate been approaching this particular aspect of life? And how might you like to do that now?
Exactly. It's just seeing how much I tend to push myself and it's really difficult to catch in the moment what's going on, but the recording and listening and like just giving myself time out to check in is really helping.
Mm-hmm. You know, of course, I want to remind you that you don't actually push yourself, right? That you're being pushed by egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, that it's that system that's constantly after us with its urgency and busyness and underlying fear and all of that sort of thing. But after a while, it can definitely feel like we're doing it because we believe it so completely. It's not like we're objecting or protesting. I mean, we may whine once in a while that we're too tired or whatever, but when it starts in, we do our best to hop to and start doing what we should do. Right?
Yeah. So maybe that's what because it really, I really have a sub-personality that, or what I that gives us that personality that is, I mean, she is just completely taken in by all of these, the conditioning, like she is completely conditioned. And I've been trying to talk with her in my recording.
And how does she respond?
She is very, very skeptical.
Very, very
skeptical. She's dubious.
Uh-huh.
She believes that trying harder is the way to get what I want.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you now suspicious of what I'm going to say?
Possibly.
That just very well might not be a subpersonality.
Yeah.
That is very, very likely karmic conditioning, masquerading, pretending to be a subpersonality, because if it's a subpersonality, the chances are people, the better chances, the real person who has, you know, real needs and beliefs and that sort of thing. So if I'm going to be karmic conditioning self-hate, you're going to catch on to me and you're going to toss me out. But if I say I'm a subpersonality, then you'll give me a lot of attention and work with me, and I will be just as resistant, but I'll get your attention for a lot longer.
Hmm.
And in fact, without practice, you know, some kind of external, in quotes, external mirror being held up, people will stay with parts of themselves, again in quotes, trying to please those parts of themselves or trying to meet their needs or whatever it is for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's not really parts of themselves. It's just ego, identity, taking all the attention. So does feeling bad tend to motivate you? You feel guilty?
That's where I tend to, that's where I've tended to try to motivate myself in the past is, yeah, feeling bad or wanting to be good.
Yeah. Okay, now once again, I'm gonna suggest that that's karmic conditioning and not you trying to motivate yourself that way. But anyway, so shall I offer another possibility for guilt and feeling bad?
Yes, please.
Okay. So life has given you this phenomenal opportunity to be alive. You're bright and intelligent and capable and competent and all sorts of things that tend to give a human being a real leg up toward having a life that is truly enjoyable. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, there's a lot of blessings in my life.
Yeah. And instead of taking the time to be with life, to show your gratitude by expressions of appreciation and enjoyment, you spend your time with a system that pushes you and drives you and makes you feel bad that you're not working harder and doing more.
Yeah, that's been true for a lot of my life.
Yeah. I think, I don't know this, but I think there's a Jewish notion that it's a, and I'm sure this isn't the language, but it's a slap in the face to God not to enjoy and be grateful for the gifts that are bestowed. I think we could apply that here.
Yeah. It's really neat to start to see a different way of doing life.
Yeah. So maybe taking some time to walk in the woods and focus on all that you've received and all that you love and are grateful for and appreciate and enjoy. And sort of so rather than me taking on responsibility for making my life happen, how about if I just turn it over to you, life, and trust that I will receive everything that is there for me to receive. And I promise to do my part. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be happy. It's so counter to our conditioning, isn't it?
It really is.
And yet, doesn't it kind of have a ring of truth?
Definitely.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, God, I'm pretty sure you don't know what you're doing. And so I'm going to take control of this human life, and I'm going to do it the way it ought to be done. And, you know, you can take notes because you might want to apply this somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Or we could just say, whew, thank you.
Yeah.
And of course, out of that gratitude, our hearts really do open to, so how can I give back? You know, I have all these gifts, all these talents, the abilities. How might I use them to benefit all of life? And the happiness just grows.
Yeah, it's that wanting to give and participate and be present is very much.
Wait. Say that again. I'm having trouble hearing you.
We kind of wanting to give and participate and be present and just enjoying the moment that and is very much a part of my life. It's almost like I'm just seeing some of these old things and how I thought I had moved out of those old patterns.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still present in some of these areas and specifically in the nutrition and stuff. So it's really perfect
mm-hmm.
that we're doing with the email class right now.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. And the beautiful thing to me of a class like this is that all of the things we're doing can apply to everything, right? It's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same process.
Definitely.
Well, good. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Take good care of yourself, huh?
I will.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Ellie. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Ramita.
Well, hello, Ramita.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. enjoying the email class, getting a lot out of it. And the discussion between Ashwini and Jen really helped, because the assignment right now is to record and listen before I eat anything or shop or all of that. And oh boy, has that brought up a lot of resistance.
What are you hearing?
No. Well, forgetting, first of all. I know the assignment says, you know, set up reminders, and I'm like, how in the world? That's been a befuddling, you know. Like, I don't know how to set up reminders to, you know, before I eat. And so I got stuck, right, with how do I remind myself? So then I would forget, and then I find myself eating, and then I say, oh, you don't have to record anything now. You know, you can start later, postpone. So I'm seeing a lot of this stuff, and like you're saying, it applies in all kinds of, with all kinds of content.
Yeah. Yeah. We see the same processes showing up everywhere throughout our lives, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so do you do the setting alarms and putting notes up and all of that kind of thing?
Well, I set an alarm, and I think it went off at a time where, you know, I was sitting with another person doing work, and I couldn't stop right there, and then it slipped my mind. And then the conditioning gets in there with the urgency, like, oh, you know, you're too hungry. You have to take care of that now. And going with that instead of slowing down and tuning in again to the body.
So, as we always like to note, all of these things are, we could say, just right up there with as helpful as getting the result we're going for.
Exactly. Yes.
All the things conditioning says are there. That's a mistake. You shouldn't be having that experience, which means you shouldn't be seeing how we do what we do to you.
Right. And like Ashwini was saying, you know, maybe 29 days out of 30, I don't do what I set out to do. I've learned so much on that, all on those 29 days.
Yes.
That is my, this is where I am in my training process regarding this concept.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that was very helpful to have a context and, you know, and again, avoid feeling bad about any of it.
Oh, right. You know, one of the things that occurs to me, though, that this is just a little tip that I find really, really helpful. So I'm in a situation, and I've got my alarm set, and it, as you say, it goes off the wrong time. I'm doing something else. I stop right then and reset the alarm. Because I know I won't remember. I mean, remembering is a long ways down the road. I mean, not really. You know, it can be a matter of days, but it's going to feel like a long ways down the road before I, whatever we're talking about here, am so thoroughly trained that the mere thought of food has me aware that I want to record and listen.
Yes.
And we do get to that point because the intelligence that animates is happy to take in any information we want to give it, right, and to assist us. So before long, you know, the recorder is right there at the breakfast table, then, you know, as soon as I think I need to get lunch together, okay, where's the recorder, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But until then, with those, and then again with the alarms, of course, anytime, whatever I've got an alarm set for, if it goes off at the wrong time, I'm going to reset it because that postponing, forgetting, all that stuff is karmic conditioning specialty.
Yes, yes. So then engaging myself in a process of training myself to reset the alarm.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Seeing that as training.
Yes.
And I'm making progress with this piece of the training program.
Right, Yes, and I'm constantly in conversation about it. I can't remember if we talked about it here. For a while, I was talking about it everywhere, I think. But that whole thing of, so if this is an issue, the recording before eating or bringing more conscious awareness to eating or that sort of thing, then for the next month, I would just have every recording that I make every day have as a piece of it how I'm doing with that. I mean, I might talk about any other thing, but on that recording, every one of them is going to be a reference to remembering to check in and record and listen before I eat and before I buy things at the grocery, you know, all of that. Remember, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing now. This is what my focus is.
Oh, I love it, because I could get distracted of insight over here and awareness over there. No, good, but it can act as a distraction from wanting to bring awareness to this content.
Yes, yeah, and all these others are great. You know, I'm just having awarenesses and insights like crazy. Every time I record them, I make mention of this thing that I'm working on right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Okay, and I'm very happy that I've got two more whole days to work on.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and just to do a recording about how you want to do this, remembering what's important to you. That process,
mm-hmm.
whether it's with food and meals and that sort of thing, or it's with whatever it is, you know, noticing, making sure that I'm placing my feet properly when I walk, or, you know, seeing that whatever it is that I want to bring conscious awareness to, that I'm training myself constantly in these ways. And it's fun. That's the other thing I just have to underline at this point. It is so much more fun than being unconscious, distracted, and beaten up. You know, it
Absolutely.
Just becomes, yeah, it just becomes like a giant game of, and especially if it's, yes, I remembered. Yes, and I report about how happy and excited I am that I remembered and what I saw about that and da-da-da-da-da. And then the more we have of those, of course, the more we want to listen because they're really fun to hear. So,
yes, good. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
Well, thank you very much, Sherry.
Oh,
good
pleasure.
Night.
Good night.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Ramita. Fun, Sherry, huh? Fun is the theme.
Fun is it. It is.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. I want to be just composted, you know, when I die. I don't even particularly care what tree it's under, just something nice. And but a little stone there that says, and it was fun.
And it was fun. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
That'll take the wind out of conditioning sails.
Because conditioning is no fun.
No fun.
It's just not. You know, we invite it to the party. We'd like for it to play, but it's just no fun. It just doesn't want to have fun. So we just have
yeah.
to go on without it. Yeah.
I know something that's fun.
What's that?
Our coaches program.
That is fun. That is very fun.
Take a break. And listen to them.
All right. Thank you. Good segue.
Thank you.
The practice theme for this year is upping your game. We are all spiritual athletes in the game of life, and we can train to participate joyfully in the spirit of play. Yes, we are up against a worthy opponent, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. But we can up our chances of success by getting a personal trainer, a Zen awareness coach. The awareness coaches are guided by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching around any number of life issues or awareness practice in general. Coaching places a special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and from old timers that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. Since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to practice, getting a coach assists us to support ourselves while supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit sanghamarket.com. Go to the services section, click on the little monk, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have more callers, Sherry. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jody from Atlanta.
Well, hey, Jody, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Great, great.
Good.
I'm responding this way.
What?
Yeah. Well, I'm responding this way because I had been looking forward to seeing you in North Carolina, and you didn't make it to the retreat, and I was just processing all of that.
Yeah.
That's all. Thinking it, I think it was New Year's.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. It was. And I had just started working again, and so I realized it was not going to be possible to do that retreat then. But I'm looking into doing it in Philadelphia. I have a desire to learn more about the Eightfold Path and more of some of the Buddhist teaching. Like, yeah, I'm excited to delve more into that.
Have you noticed how that getting a job and working interferes with a person's life?
It was amazing how full my life had gotten before I started working again.
Yeah. How do we have time to work? Yep.
Right. It's honestly what a little bit of what I would love to talk about, and I think I talked about it a couple of weeks ago when I called in, is just how to, and I know I'm going to use these terms, I know this is egocentric karmic conditioning, but how to get myself to do stuff. It's how mm-hmm. to practice compassionate self-discipline when, you know, I have deadlines and I have work that I need to do and I don't get it done, and then I have to pull all-nighters, and I know that's not good for me. And I'm watching myself do it, and I'm in practice with it, and I will listen. I'm not – the recording and listening practice isn't – it's there, but it's not consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I just – that's really where I'm seeing content kind of overtake life a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, what I'm going to encourage you is that the recording and listening practice is what's going to make the difference for you. Because what it does, I mean, truly, I don't know if I'm just projecting this, but I think it's true, having talked to a fair number of people throughout my years of practice, most everybody wants an unconditionally loving person who devotes themselves, so in my case, will devote themselves to me, to do what I want and need, and go with me, and do things, and be fun all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the life companion we want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, preferably somebody with no needs of their own, so that they can be available just constantly to meet my needs. And that's what we get with recording and listening.
Mm-hmm.
We get that person. That little recorder has no needs of its own, you know. And yet it's the source of tremendous support and wisdom, because of course that's who you are. That's what you are when you tap in underneath this layer of karmic conditioning. So
mm-hmm.
it's having that coach there with you who helps you lay out the schedule and make sure that you have time to play and that there are treats and rewards of all kinds so
mm-hmm.
that you feel like you really are the center of your life. You're the primary beneficiary of all of the efforts that you make. So it's not I go to work and I have to do all of this stuff for them. But instead, no, actually, I'm doing everything in my life for me, because this is my life, and I'm doing it all for me. And with that kind of attitude, then, you know, if you're if you're with somebody that you just are crazy about, that you love being with, it doesn't matter what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have that person who will help you do the work and help you meet the deadline and then celebrate like crazy when you do. And
I probably already know the answer to this, and maybe it's just hearing it again. When you do a recording and listening practice, is it? Maybe I'm taking something simple but not easy. Is that I don't know the right way to say this, where I'm complicating it. And so it's like, well, do I get up every day and do I do it? Do I do it right before I go to work? Do I do it all the time? But then I don't listen to the radio. Like, and I just get into this, like, I go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, we do, because that's how karmic conditioning controls us, basically, about everything, right? Gets us into this. So I'll just tell you about me, okay? So I always, now, of course, I live alone. So this, all of this is easy when somebody lives alone, okay? I know it gets a little trickier when there's somebody else sharing a space, but I always record and listen when I have breakfast. Always. Hmm. It's one of my favorite, absolute favorite things to do. I record and listen in the car. I record and listen when I go for a walk. I always have the recorder with me. And I record every insight that comes through. Every time there's a moment of awareness or clarity or whatever, I record about it. I'll often record in the middle of the night because I will wake up into an insight or an awareness. So it really is as if I have somebody with me who is interested in the most mundane little pieces of content in my being.
Mm.
Right? And then I listen to that because I really, really like that person.
Mm.
I mean, that person is talking to me about my life, for goodness sake.
Mm.
So, you know, I have recordings of just sitting with the birds, you know, going crazy in the springtime. And, you know, I can hardly hear myself on the recording over the birds. And all I'm doing is loving sitting there listening to the birds on a beautiful spring day. Right? And it and it makes me happy.
So it doesn't have to be, because I think I tend to record when either I'm feeling really bad, I don't want to say bad, but really not present or really...
No,
and so then
no.
There's a reason for my authentic self to have to talk me down, whereas when I'm feeling
then
just kind of having it be habitual,
well,
kind of
that it is, you know, again, if you have a best friend and you're going to go on a trip together or you're going to spend the day together or whatever it is, you know, you're not going to spend all day talking about big, deep problems and terrible things that your friend has to talk you through. You know, it's also light and playful and, you know, catching up and what's going on with you and what are you interested in and what are you doing? What are you seeing? And how's your life? And all of those kinds, all of that, it's your whole life. I really discourage people from keeping any recordings where you can tell that karmic conditioning has gotten a hold of the recorder. Now, if it's somebody who's having a hard time, you know, get kind of the right-hand, left-hand recorder thing where somebody's having a hard time and they talk and then the mentor, the centered person talks back to them, those can be very helpful recordings to have. But it's also But it's also just you getting the friendly, kind, loving, compassionate support that you need for enjoying your life.
Hmm.
Kind of like, when you were a little kid, did you have an imaginary friend?
No, I never did.
Oh, now you can have one.
Right.
It's not too late. The advantage, of course, I had Jimmy when I was little. And, of course, like I guess with most imaginary friends, Jimmy did everything bad and got in trouble a lot. It doesn't work so much that way with the mentor.
Yeah.
But it is nice to have somebody, you know, something good happens to you, you have somebody to celebrate with. You know, you can talk.
Mm-hmm.
You can, and in fact, when great things happen, you can tell the recorder and not feel like you're going to be accused of bragging.
Okay.
All right. You do it and let me know, will you?
I will.
Yeah,
thank
and
you.
I know you don't have a lot of time for this, but we do have that groovy website now devoted to all the tips and hints and insights from people about how to do this. And so at some point, if you're just, you know, lacking inspiration, you can go on there and see what Tonga is doing with recording and listening and get some ideas.
Yeah, I took a look. It's some great stuff, and I've also really loved the virtual meditation groups. Those have been really fun
good.
As well.
Oh, good.
So thanks to all of you all. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let me know.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Good night, Jody.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jody. You're listening to Open Air. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dan from California.
Well, hello, Dan. How are you?
You know, someone wants to say, not so hot, but just hearing you say, great, you know what, just saying that makes me feel great.
It does, doesn't it? It does. There's a Landmark Forum, I guess they're still in business. One of their expressions that I just love is, how you say it is how it is.
Hmm.
And, I mean, it just kind of captures it. You know, if I say crummy, well, I feel crummy and that's what I've got. But when I realize, it's great. Great. I feel great.
Wow, that is instantaneous. What I focus on becomes what is.
Yes. It's my experience of life.
And what's even funnier is not now I'm feeling great, and not 30 seconds ago, I was paying attention to a story about how all these other people seem to have fun with practice, but you're not having fun with practice. What are you doing wrong? And
yeah.
It was just turning attention.
Yes. Yes. And now, again, karmic conditioning wants to say to people, this turning the attention thing. You know, if you turn your attention, you look out, and there are the trees and the blue sky and the clouds. But that's not real. Right?
Mm.
That's not real. What's real is you've got these issues and problems. That's what's real. And exactly the opposite is true, right? What's real is what I'm looking at right in front of me. It's where my feet are, right? It's the air that I'm breathing. That's real, not some story about what other people are doing and I'm not doing. That's not real.
Hmm.
Unless I make it real, of course, by giving it my attention.
Yeah, this segues nicely because what I was wanting to talk about was I'm Enneagram Type 1, so I remember when I first learned that and was reading that anger is an issue for Type 1s. I'm like, well, that's not true. But the guidance was to walk around and, you know, just hold that, see what's true. And, man, there was anger everywhere. I just hadn't realized it was all internal. It was just, you know, nice, happy person face to everyone else and just a lot of anger turned inside.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, along with upping the game, I got a coach. I'm doing the stop, drop, text. And I made some choices that were very much beyond the ego's boundaries. And it feels like it's upping its game in response. And there's moments where there's just like a horrible yelling bully in the head who's just raging. and that content that it's raging about seems really real.
You feel like saying what it is, Dan?
It can be, you know, so this is one of the clues, is that it keeps focusing on different things. Sometimes it's a work relationship, sometimes a personal relationship. It's beginning to attack everything. To the point where sometimes it's very tempting to the child that I'm identified with listening to this yelling voice to just give in so it'll stop. And so working with the coach, there's this kid who's listening to the screaming and just being with that kid, realizing that it doesn't have to sit there and look at this screaming bully, that there's somewhere else to be. Man, I'm getting a soft feeling just thinking of that. That's all the kid wants is a place to sit. Just to know it doesn't have to listen to it. Yeah, that's all that kid wants to hear. You don't have to listen to that.
Yeah. And when that screaming bully is there, does it feel like it's you, or do you more identify as someone who's listening to it?
Yeah, so when it first started screaming a lot, it did feel like, oh, you know what? No, I'm not it. Because there was another going, it would scream, and then they're going, well, yeah, that's true. So it was definitely the person, me, I was identified with, was agreeing with the voice, okay, yeah, you're right, that's true, I have to do something about it. That's really good to see.
Yeah, that's really helpful, isn't it? Yeah. So, there are a couple of things. So, do you do you feel that in your body? Are you aware of the energy building in your body as this comes on?
Well, that's one of the things I started doing is I realized all the raging is purely in the head. When I stop and look at the heart or, you know, feel what's going on with the body's actually kind of having a fear response. You know, the heart rate's elevated, but there's kind of a tightness in the skin. There's a little, you know, fast breathing. It doesn't...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's definitely the kid who's scared of getting in trouble. With anger in the room.
And I'm guessing you grew up with that.
Yeah, there is some ties there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so do you do physical things? Like, do anything that would release the physical results of that, all that mental stuff?
That's what I did as a kid. I would just punch the pillow sometimes, and that feels like a good thing to do when I get home.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, good. Because it can be extremely helpful to manage that energy level physically rather than letting it all get turned into that mental activity. Yes, we want to get to the point of saying, you know, I don't choose that conversation. But then there's everything that's going on in the body. So, you know, jogging or punching the, you know, the pillow or the punching bag or whatever it is to, or, you know, I encourage people sometimes just go out in the backyard, dig a hole covered up, you know, just something that helps the body to deal with all that extra adrenaline and energy that's roaring around through it.
Okay.
Yeah, which can also
add that to practice.
Yeah, because you can take the little guy with you. You know, that can be let's get out of here and do something with this. And then, you know, I mean, he can enjoy the physical activity, the change of focus, of attention, And it's something. It's a. It is a way to get away from, literally.
Huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's lots of stuff popping in the head as you're saying that. I think I've used up my five here, but just running up the stairs suddenly seemed like a lot of fun. Running around the grass, rolling, climbing a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. The whole sense of play has just come back. Oof.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. That's going to be very popular with small people. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Report back, would you?
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Dan. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're coming on to 5:56 here. If you want to speak with another person, or shall we call it an evening?
Well, let's give it a try.
Okay.
You never know. As long as we all know we're going to make it quick.
Okay, here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christine.
Hello, Christine.
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I guess there's a lot going on. Maybe I'll just keep it simple and ask you about what you think about this particular thing. So I'm really watching how when life, I'm really, you know, just practicing hearing, you know, guidance and just, and I ask, you know, what would be best for all. And so from your experience, so sometimes I'll be going along and I'll get some kind of insight or some kind of message or something that, and I think to myself, wow, that is so great. I never thought of that. And I get excited. Yes, I would love to do that. I'll do that. And then, like, you know, time goes on a little bit and then it changes. And so, now I'm not doing that. I'm doing this other thing because, you know, it worked out better, and I'm happy with the other thing too. So, it doesn't really matter. But, what is that? I think I'm just looking at the whole thing not quite right. But what is that says, well, you could do this, but then I'm not doing that. You know, I'm doing something else. Like how? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, here's what I've doped out about it. And let's be clear that this is just what I've doped out about it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when people are just caught in egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, one of the big features of that is there are no options.
Oh,
right? I'm
yeah.
in this job, I'm in this relationship, I have these kids, this is how they are, you know, I'm just slogging through to the end. We start doing awareness practice, or, you know, I mean, something that starts to wake us up. And one of the things we begin to see is that life is full of possibilities. So the way I talk about it is life is going, well, you could do that. You could do that. How about that? You could do that. What about that? You could just that? You could do that. And what ego does with that is no, I want to do that. And the that ego chooses, of course, is the one thing that life hasn't offered. But when we do awareness practice and all of those, you could do this, you could do that, you could do this, we're not saying no any longer. We're actually aware of all of those things as possibilities. Now, if we think because it dropped in that we could do that, that it means we should do that, then we can become overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
yeah.
as you've noticed, there are a lot of really good ideas coming along. Tons of really good ideas. And the more open we are, the more of those good ideas there are. And we can't possibly do them all. So what I have taken as a strategy is that I don't do anything right away. I'll contemplate it, you know. Oh, yeah, that I'll look into it. Oh, that, yeah, that's it. And if it keeps showing up, then I'll pursue it. But if it's just kind of passing through, and by the time I've looked into it, it seems to have moved on to a neighbor somewhere as, you know, a good idea possibility for them, then I just let it go. And just, I've enjoyed having that time with it. It's almost like doing it. I've looked into it. I've experienced it. I've explored it. And it just moves on, and I'm looking at what's here right now.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think it was just conditioning that wanted to make something of that. Well, what about that? Well, why did that come up? Well, why did, you know, why aren't you doing that? Well, you should do. I guess it was just getting in there. But yeah, I can just, and I do the same thing. Like, oh, you know, I could be really excited about it and then wait, you know, days.
Yeah.
And then things change.
And do you stay excited? If you stay excited, it's usually because life keeps bringing it back around. Right?
Yeah.
And then you stay excited, and pretty soon you go, you know, I'm going to do that. That's really true. And those are often the things that we do pursue.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the ones that just passed through, well, it was nice, but, we weren't meant for each other. So it was pleasant, and now it's over.
Well, why? What is it? What is it that's passing through?
I mean, is that just...
The hugeness of life, and we just catch
yes.
it, and then...
I think so. I think it's whole mind. Now, again, I don't know anything about this, okay? But one of the things that has long fascinated me is that when there's a discovery, say in science, in medicine, that sort of thing, it often happens in 3 or 4 places around the globe at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have I cannot tell you the number of things that I have invented that in a very short period of time come into creation, and I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I
think these things appear in whole mind, and if we're tuned to a particular frequency at that moment, then we receive it. And again, you know, it may just be something that's going to land in somebody else's world, and they're going to bring it into fruition. But it's kind of like when telephone wires are crossed and you can hear somebody else's conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're on there, but it's not your conversation. So you just kind of notice and then hang up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and when I... Right, okay. And yeah, I guess I just... Sometimes I want to know when I ask, what about this? Sometimes I want to know sooner than I do, but I guess if I'm distracted myself by wanting to know and trying to know, that is getting in the way of
life. And as you say, that's usually egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, you know, wanting to jump in there and make meaning out of it or understand it or figure it out or that sort of thing. Whereas with life, it's just this and then this and then this. And there is no, as far as I can tell, there is no meaning. There is no purpose. There isn't anything to figure out. It's just manifesting. It's just coming into being. And we, being little receiving stations, we receive it as it comes into being.
Yeah, and I think it's just sometimes I buy the argument that, well, these other people are involved, and so really I need to make a plan because this, you know, event's coming and make the plan because these other people are involved. But if I don't know yet, I don't know.
That's right, and that's a good one not to fall for, isn't it? And that's a very wise thing that you just said, because we are always operating on life's time. We can't make things happen ahead of time. We just can't. We can spin our wheels and we can agonize, but we can't make anything happen. So when you don't know, you don't know. When you do know, you do know. And that's just kind of how it is.
Yeah, and then there's a young part of me who doesn't want it to end up that I don't do anything, because I would be so bummed if the time came and I didn't do anything because I didn't get any message to do anything.
Well, the thing about it is you can always do being.
I can always do what?
Being.
Just be.
Which is all we're actually doing anyway.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So there's no reason to be bummed, because whether you get a message or you don't get a message, and there's some sort of physical activity or there isn't physical activity, you're just as much alive. And if you're present, that's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Great to hear your voice.
Yeah, thanks. You too.
All right, take care.
Okay, thanks. And you take care, too.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Christine. That was a fabulous conversation, Sherry. And
I'm glad we did it, aren't you?
Yes,
yeah.
I am. Yes,
yeah.
I am.
Well, thank you, Michael. Once again.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, talk to you next week.
Okay, good night.
Bye.